have shared on Wednesday nights. We'll do a short one. And I picked one up today that just hit me. Five words, and I'm going to try to address this in the next 29 minutes and help with it to a certain degree. It was leading a family in Christ. Somebody wrote that down on a piece of paper. Just leading a family in Christ. And if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading at verse 14. And I'm going to be reading in the New Living Translation. And we're only going to one other place. But I'm going to try to put some meaning in this here. Okay. The word says here, and I'm gonna pull that out of my and I'm just going to read it out of my Bible. And I would advise you to do that if you brought a Bible. I would advise you to bring a Bible because God will bless you. He'll open that word to you. 2 Corinthians 6, and I'm going to begin at verse 14. And this is what the word says there. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? Now, I'm going to share something with you, and I'm going to share it out of my own life. I've done shameful things, terrible, terrible things. But I got born again when I was in 1971. I was 19 years old, and I began to pay attention to Millie. She was my next-door neighbor, and she was different than the kind of girls that I was dating at the time, and I'm not going to go into that, but she was different, and she was a good person. She was a straight-A student, and I don't know what it was about me, but she was just crazy about me. And my mother, now I'm going to tell you something here. And if you can grasp some of this here, we have mothers in here. We have single young people in here. At least they were a minute ago. Sophie's still here. Is Kimber still here? Right there. I want you all to listen to all of this here. And you moms and dads, I want to try to give you something that is foolproof and never fails. Now, when I started to go out with Millie, I was born again, and I talked with Millie was not born again. Millie was just a good person. She was brought up by good parents. She was a straight-A student. You know that none of those things matter when we draw that last breath. You're either born again or you're not born again. And Jesus told a great ruler, Nicodemus, except a person is born again, they cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. Now, for the first time in my life with Millie, young people listen, everybody listen, I just decided to do things the right way. And I'm just going to say this simply. We were not intimate until we were married. In fact, we got married one day, and it was a night. It was the next day, and Millie pointed it out. Hey, it's August the 11th, and I'm still a virgin. I was hoping somebody at least smiled during that part. But that really happened. And I'm going to tell you something. Young people, you can be like every other kid. And parents that teach, you can be like every other kid, or you can do something different. Now I'm going to tell you, Millie and I have been through many wonderful things, and God has used us to change many people's lives. But from the very beginning, the word says, don't be unequally yoked together with non-believers. And before Millie and I got married, I started dating her, and I said, look, I don't know if you'd be interested in this. I said, but I go to church every Sunday, and I'd be proud to take you. And she took me up on that. And I began to teach her about Jesus. And one day in that church, about 500 people at the back there where we were sitting, Millie let Jesus into her heart. She became born again. It was right after that. Now, I want you to pay attention to me. And I want you to know I don't make my living by lying. Right after Millie got born again, my mom, she began to say, you know, I like that Millie. She's a good girl. You're going out with her a little bit, are you? I said, yeah, Ma. We're just going to church. Yeah, I like her. And after Millie got saved, let me tell you what happened. Three nights, God woke me up and said, Angelo, I want you to marry that girl next door. Now, I'm telling you, it didn't happen until she got born again. You know what I'm talking about. Well, like I said, I just asked Millie to get married, and I was blessed and lucky enough she said yes. And we kept it on the up and up, like the Word says. Now, I'm teaching you things. You might say, well, I failed in that area. Well, but what about the rest of your life? What about today? Does anybody see what I'm just trying to tell you what works, okay? And be not unequally yoked together with non-believers. Now, fellas in the sound booth, give me Proverbs 22 and 6 in the King James translation of the Bible. I'm going to tie two things together that's going to help you. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, the Word of God says this. Train up a child in the way they should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, Millie and I got married. Millie went to school for 5 years, you know. Her dad asked me. I went and asked for her hand in marriage. He said, you know, one of the things we want to do, we want her to go to college. Now, what are you going to do about that? I said, Hib, I'm going to make sure she goes to college. I give you my word. And he believed me. And Millie, she had a good friend. What was that friend's name? That Hispanic girl? Cecilia. And they would study together. And I would give Millie her tests. And I just, those 5 years, and we didn't have a baby right then and there. I became a youth pastor then, and we just went on. And the night that Millie graduated college, she was pregnant with Casey 5 years later. And that December the 25th, December the 31st, at 10 minutes to 11 at night, Casey was born. Now, the one thing that Millie wanted, I knew what her dad wanted, and I completed that. Now, there was a time Millie wanted to, she said, I just want to do something else. And she was kind of backing out, and I felt like, you know, I told her dad that she was going to go to college and that she was going to, this is what I told Millie, come on with me. And I took her to work with me. Now, I worked in sheetrock and taping mud and all that, and she wanted to come, and she hit my poor wife had taping mud all over her. And she said, now, I'm not going to be here tomorrow to go with you. I'm going back to school. And she went on. Now, did that happen, sweetheart? Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you something. All things work together for good to those who love God. How many of you in here love God? Now, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show something. Everybody in here is a candidate for all of the promises of God to come to you and your children and your family. All of them are. Romans 8:28. All things, everything, works together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So what a person has to do, you got to find out about your life. And if your life is not important to you, you know what? I wanted to know, what was I supposed to be doing now that you saved me, Father? And he began to teach me and move me and move me into the moon, caused us to move here from Modesto, California. Just knew one person here and worked 5 years here and birthed this work here, so on and so forth. Many, many things happened, but it started with me seeking God, wanting to do the right thing, making many mistakes. What about after you got married? Did you stop making mistakes? No. No, I didn't. But you know what? Many times God showed me with the woman that he told me to marry why there's not many people like Millie. And I know Kelly just said that last Sunday, but it's the truth. And others would have quit on me because I was a terrible person. And I'm a little bit better now, but I'm not perfect at all. And I don't come up here because I'm perfect. I'm come up here because I'm called. God called me. And if you'll open your heart, you're going to get something out of this in the next few minutes. So train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they get older, they will not depart from it. Now, I had Casey and Kelly. They're not perfect either. But you know what? We took them kids to church. They started coming to church when it was in their mama's womb. And they've been going ever since. And have they had problems? Have we had problems? Yeah. Yeah, we have. Everybody has problems. Everybody. I want you to know that. The word says, John 16:33, the words of Jesus, our Savior, in this world, you will have tribulation. But if you're a child of God, cheer, because I've overcome the world. And as I put Romans 8:28 in there, Miss Helton, all things work together for good. Even the things that look like they were going to destroy you, all things work together for good. Everything, all things work together for good. Maybe more than ever you need to hear this. All things work together for good to them that love God. And I know you love God. I've known it for a long time. You've been one of my closest sisters for ever since I met you. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You can't work out his purpose if you don't find it. So one thing you want to do, you want to find out, Father, you want to ask yourself, am I in your purpose? Am I in your will? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And so many other questions. You know, if you take up everything and talk to God every day, that's the right thing to do. And ask God, well, what if something went wrong? What if part of this went wrong? Well, it's going to work together for good in the end, or God is a liar. I'll tell you what. I started when I was 19. This year, if I make it to October 24th, I'm just dropping a little in case you want to buy me a present. I'm going to be 75 years old. And I'm going to tell you something. I cannot remember one time I have not seen one person that God has failed. I have not seen one person. And the deeper, the more that a person gives their life to the Lord, the more their life makes sense to them. Train up a child in the way they should go. I asked myself about 20-something years ago, 25 years ago maybe, I said, God, I'd like to do something for you that other people, that maybe not everybody would do. Now, you can think bad of me. You can think I'm bragging. I'm trying to teach you something, okay? And those of you who know me, you know I'm trying to teach you something. And God said, okay. And it was a new convert in our church. Her name was Mary McElhaney. She had three kids. And God said, I want you to take Shelly and raise her. And I told that to Mary, and she just rejoiced. And we brought Shelly into our house. And she had a sister that was living in Russ Pottsville. Her name is Melissa. She was 16 at the time. And God said, I want you to get her too. And then Shelly became pregnant. She had a little baby. His name was Evan. And he said, I want you to raise that child too. Now, why am I mentioning that? I can tell you this here. Melissa was already a churchgoer. She was raised in church. Shelly was not. We got her when she was 12 years old. We began to raise her. She came to church with us all the time. I just love her. I just love her. But I had a broken heart over her for many, many years, and I'll tell you why. I had to ask God, why would you have me to raise somebody that I don't understand, Lord? She doesn't seem to, well, when she was eight, on her 18th birthday, Shelly left our house. She didn't even tell us. She just left. And she went out on her own. She got pregnant. She had Evan. One time, many years ago, I was praying for Shelly. I just loved her. He gave me a father's heart for her. And I fell asleep crying for her, weeping over her. It was just so many years, it seemed like anything we heard about Shelly, it wasn't going the right way. Well, the Lord woke me up at about 1:30 in the morning. He said, son. I said, yes, Father. He said, go to town. I said, now, Lord, I can do that. I don't think anything's open right now in Paris. He said, son, I want you to trust me, and I want you to go to town. Somebody is going to get something out of this, because God can take something that don't look like that looks like it's one way, and he can turn it around. And I just went to town, and I was on Highway 22 in the middle of the night. And I was about to turn into Walmart, and Shelly, the next car coming the other way, we met at Walmart right there. We both turned to that parking lot at the same time. And she had Gary with her, and she had two or three others. And, boy, they just flipped them out. Kelly thought I was stalking her. She accused me of all kinds of stuff, but I wasn't doing that. I was just doing what God told me. But that did strike me as, oh, my gosh. And I'm driving back home. And the Lord says, Angelo, I'm going to tell you something. I'm asking you to do something hard. And I guarantee you, somebody here tonight, God's asking you to do something very hard. And I'm going to tell you what it is with a situation. He said, I need you to trust me. I just need you to trust me. I just said, I don't think I know how to trust you, Lord, in this. I just have a broken heart. He said, you know what? Somebody hear this tonight. He said, give me that broken heart and trust me. By the time I got to 4241 Cottontown Road and pulled my car into the driveway, I've never been the same. Something happened, Sherry. What? I don't know how that, but I was able to give that to the Lord, to Shelley. And I just loved her when I saw her, and many years went by. About 2 years ago, listen to me. Shelley said, Dad, I was talking to my mom, and I asked Mom, should I move to Lavaca with Melissa? And Mom said, ask three men. Ask three wise men. And she said, Dad, you're the first one I called. Should I move to Lavaca? I didn't even have to. I just said, yeah, that's what God's telling you to do. Now I'm going to tell you something. From that time that she moved to Lavaca to what I'm telling you happened was about 20 years in there. Shelley got saved. Shelley's born again. Shelley's been born again for 2 years. Aunt Brenda, is she saved or not? Say it. Is she saved? Does she show the fruits of being a saved person? Somebody needs to hear all of this. Because if anything that I'm telling you can save you one heartache. Now, couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. And I said, God, he said, do you remember what I told you, son? God's talking to somebody in this room tonight. You know what he's saying to you? Maybe everybody. Maybe you've got something that's just breaking your heart. God said, I want you to trust me. I'm going to turn it around because no storm, come on, no storm lasts forever. You hear me? That Shelley storm, that was over 20 years. Sam, am I telling the truth about all of this? Put up that Proverbs 22:6 in the NLT translation, and I'm going to wrap this up. This is what it says in the NLT. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Now, I always wanted a little boy. And I got to raise Evan. We needed to get some papers together. Who's the lawyer that just... David Craven. We needed to have $1,000 for him by Friday. I just said, Lord, I just thank you. I'm going to go talk to David. I'll have something to give him. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Millie, on her check, got an extra bonus we were not looking for. It was exactly $1,000. Christmas Eve this year, Christmas Day this year, we were all at the nursing home. How many of you was there? Put your hand up if you was there. How many of you remember seeing Evan there? Yeah. That night before Christmas Eve, he rolled his truck. Destroyed his truck. And Evan been telling me the last several, over a period of about 2 or 3 years, Pop, there's something wrong with me. I don't know what it is. It's in my head. And we were here at the church after the meeting at the nursing home, and he was out in front telling me that same thing. Pop, there's something wrong with me. He said, I feel bad about what I did. He took very good care of that truck until he just decided to show out, do the wrong thing. And in December, I don't remember exactly what day, God gave me a vision of Evan. I was praying. And God gave me a vision of Evan. I'm going to show you where he was. Evan was standing right here. He had his hands up and he was weeping. Right here. He was saying, I need Jesus. Now, I'd already been through this with his mother. We were standing right out in front of the church. I said, come here, Evan. Come here. I said, come here. I said, stand right here, son. I said, look at me. I grabbed him and I said, listen, I had a vision of you. You were standing right here. Whatever you're going through, you're going to end up right here. And you're going to get saved. I said, I hope I'm here. I said, I don't need to be here for that to happen. When that happens in your heart, when that happens, Jill, you understand? When that happens in your heart, you come and stand right here. God Almighty is going to be waiting for you. I waited over 20 years for Shelley. You know what happened in that waiting time? I'm sure that Evan's going to end up right over there and he's going to get saved. What if I did this wrong or that wrong? If I told you all the wrong that I did, my goodness, all I can tell you is this. God loves you. God wanted you to hear this. Because if it was only for me, what would the point be? But it's for everybody in this room. How many of you, you've got things in your life that the only way that it's going to come is you're going to have to trust God. If that's you, I want you to stand up. Everybody that stands up, I got a word for you. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. Y'all look at me. Doesn't matter what it is. If he told you you can have it, it's yours. It's yours. That's why I prayed for you tonight. It's yours. It's yours. Everybody in this room. Heaven and earth will pass away. God's promises will never, never pass away. Carson Paul, help me, please. Y'all can sit down.